Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
So many thrills, so many spills, so many champions, so many defeats.
Unbelievable. Oh.
Triple M is proud to present a special podcast series, MG's Decade of Rugby League.
This is the Decade of Rugby League, the Rush Hour with MG's special podcast series, looking back at the game from 2010 through to 2019, all aspects of it, MG, and today... the showpiece of rugby league, State of Origin.
Yeah, what a decade it has been. Look, it's been indifferent if you're a New South Wales supporter. But as a rugby league supporter, we've seen the best team that's ever played in this arena. Mm. And probably the best team consistently over a period of 8 years that we've ever seen play rugby league.
We'll get to some of the records in a moment that have been set in this last 10 years, mostly by that Queensland mob. But just quickly, for the decade, Queensland 7 series wins.
Yep.
New South Wales 3 series wins. Only one whitewash, which was Queensland back at the start of the decade in 2010. That was the only 3-0 sweep. Every other series has been decided 2-1.
Well,
if you had to guess, MG, how many coaches do you think New South Wales has been through in the period?
4.
Correct. Bellamy in 2010.
Yep.
Ricky Stewart.
Ricky Stewart. Laurie Daly.
Correct.
And now Freddie.
And Queensland in that same period?
Mao and Kevy.
That's it. That's it. Mao all the way through to 2015. Kevy from 2016 up until now. So, I mean, I think, look, 7 series wins for Queensland in the decade. 2010 through 2013, interrupted by that 2014 win to New South Wales, and then 2015 through to 2017. It was the middle of the dominance, wasn't it? Because the dominance started the previous decade.
Yeah, it did.
And it carried through.
I was there the night it started. I was in Melbourne, MCG. About 3 or 4 minutes on the clock to go. New South Wales about to wrap the game up, and poor Brett Hodgson threw a pass from dummy half, which went astray, and that man Darren Lockyer, was there to pick it up and score under the posts and win the series. And that was their first series win, 2006. They won 8 in a row.
Mm.
8 in a row that finished in 2013. Mind you, before that Darren Lockyer pickup, Origin was dead. Apparently, because New South Wales kept winning. And all of a sudden, Queensland win 8 in a row, and it's the best thing we've ever seen. So go figure. I mean, it's all about dynasties, I think. And dynasties are good. And actually, they're great for sport because you are the hunted. And New South Wales, I think, now that they've tasted that defeat for so long, I think that's going to steal them to have that in the back of their mind to try and do the same thing.
Well, you said goodbye to so many Queensland and New South Wales legends in this decade as well. I mean, Darren Lockyer, that man you mentioned, his final series in 2011. But then, you know, it's not like Queensland suffered with Lockyer's departure. They just kept on ticking on. And when you look back at that Queensland team, we'll focus in on them for the moment because this decade's been a lot about them.
Mm-hmm.
The core of that group,
yep.
GI, JT, Cooper Cronk, Cam Smith, Billy Slater, you can understand why Melbourne Storm, one of the best teams of the last decade as well. But those 5 players,
yeah,
just in hindsight, you can understand why it was so bloody hard for New South Wales to win a series.
Arguably, 5 future immortals in the one team. You know, and then you had the ensemble, the forward pack with Matt Scott and Petro and Sam Thaiday and Corey Parker and Nate Miles and Matt Gillett, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. And everyone just knew their role. Everyone knew their role. They had the spine was always fantastic for the Queensland team. And they had a bloke by the name of Mal Meninga,
yeah,
who I've had the good fortune to both play with and against. Probably not as good fortune to play against because he was a monster. but I toured with Mal in 1990, and I saw another side of Mal that made me respect him even more.
Mm.
He's just such a great man manager. Anyone who had a problem on the Kangaroo Tour, Mal had his own room. If you're feeling a little bit homesick or you're feeling a little bit down on your form or anything like that, Bobby Footman was there as the coach, but Mal Meninga was there as the captain slash coach, who players would love to go and have a chat with. And every night I would walk, myself and Johnny Cartwright's room was exactly across the room from the hallway from Mal Meninga's, and inevitably every second night there'd be a tourist, one of us, in there having a cup of tea with Mal.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I can see why Queensland just gravitated towards him in that period because, yeah, they had a great team. But you've got to have a great mentor to be able to put that glue together and make it fly. And he did.
Mm. Well, the records he set in the decade, most games coached, 30. Most games won, 19. And most series won, 9. He won 9 series in his time as coach. Obviously, some were prior to the decade starting. But those 3 records were established in the decade. Petro.
Yep.
In 2012, became the oldest player to ever play State of Origin. 36 years and 74 days he
was. Wow. That's been taken over now by Smith, hasn't it? No, was he still the oldest player to play Origin?
Well, no, I think Smithy hung it up before he hit 36.
Okay.
And so Petro's still got the record. Gow hung it up before he hit 36
okay.
as well. Okay,
so Petro, well done, son.
He's, as far as, well, unless...
Petro, second receiver.
Petro still holds the record. Have a guess, MG. How many Wally Lewis medals did Jonathan Thurston win in the last decade?
I'd go 3.
0.
0?
Has never won a Wally Lewis... Well, never sorry, sorry. In the last decade, never won a Wally Lewis medal.
The man of the series.
The man of the series was never man of the series in this decade gone.
What about the one before?
I'll have a check.
Question without, yeah,
a
sorry.
Question without notice. But it's... I'll bring it up in front of me. Here we go. Jonathan Thurston won his only Wally Lewis medal... In 2008.
Wow.
The only one he's ever won.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, imagine if you're trying to give Dally M points to that Queensland team. None of them would ever win the Dally M medal if that was the team for a club team because they'd all steal points off each other.
Billy Slater won 3
okay.
in the last decade.
Yeah, he's been so dominant, man, at fullback.
2010.
Yeah. We won one that he shouldn't have won.
The controversial 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
And I beg your pardon, Billy Slater's won 2, 2010, 2018. Cam Smith has won 3, 2011, 2013, 2016.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You talk about...
If I picture that team as I do, and you see the constants, you see them 5 players that you mentioned earlier, and you see Thurston dominating. I see Thurston in my mind, you know, it's 14-all, there's 3 minutes to go on the clock, and he dummies and goes.
Mm.
And all of a sudden he looms up and guess who's there? Inglis, who runs away and scores, or Brent Tate, or Darius Boyd, or it was just a juggernaut. And it was, you know what, as a New South Welshman, it was a pleasure to watch that team because it was poetry in motion.
Other records set by Queenslanders in the last decade. Cam Smith, most games played of State of Origin, 42.
Yeah, it's freaking unbelievable.
Most consecutive games,
so
JT.
Just back on that.
Yeah,
so
42.
The average first grader in their career plays 34 games.
Of first grade.
The average NRL player over the history of rugby league plays 34 games.
Of first grade.
He's played 42
of Origin. Jonathan Thurston, most consecutive games of State of Origin, 36.
That's the record. That's the one. With a guy with his build and the guy who was... New South Wales were after, no matter what. They were after him big time. They stopped Thurston, you stopped Queensland. And he played 36 straight.
It's essentially not missing a game for 12 states that straight
is,
series.
Well, that's exactly what it is. That is an unbelievable, unbelievable record.
And when you've got him as your halfback or 5'8", or, you know.
Yeah.
But I want to speak about a man that New South Wales had a big decade for the other reason in a moment. When you've got that consistency in your halves, it makes life easier. Most points, JT set the record in the decade just gone, 224 State of Origin points. Most tries, the record was set.
GI?
Correct, yep. 18.
Yep.
And you touched on some of those names, the support cast, and that's, again, in no way trying to say they were any less important.
They'd be happy to be called a support cast, I guarantee.
Dane Gagai is a bloke who just grew an extra leg at Origin level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He played he scored 11 tries in 13 games for Queensland. He was almost the lock for a try every time he pulled on the maroon jumper.
And most times it was an intercept against the odds. Now Val Holmes was that guy until he went to the NFL, and now he's going back. Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting times ahead.
So Queensland are dominating, and then 2014 rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Gallen, who took over the captaincy of the Blues in 2011. I think Gidley and Badiris captaining in 2010. Trent Barrett captained Game 3 in 2010, didn't he?
Okay, mate.
Maybe. But Gow assumed the mantle and I think went on to set the record for most games. Captained by New South Wales, but he embraced that villainous role.
Yep.
He embraced the, you know, he was the yin to the yang of this Queensland dominance. He was the mouthpiece. He was the bloke prepared to stick his head up above the pulpit and let it be knocked off by these Queenslanders. And he took a fair bit of punishment.
Oh, mate, he was... If ever a guy can come out of a decade of punishment the way he has in such high praise, it's kind of a... It's a conundrum because it's... In one hand, they didn't have much in the way of... you know, celebrations, but poor Gallen tried his ass out every second.
Mm.
I think one game in 2011, he played 80 minutes in the front row and famously got a 10 out of 10 or something, if my memory is correct, I'm not sure, but he would do anything for his state.
Yeah.
And that even if it meant, you know, fisticuffs.
Yeah.
As I remember New South Wales over that decade, he's the constant that comes out, as is Robbie Farah, as is Jared Hayne, I think of him. A little bit less than the other two, but the poor Gallen, but he's just kind of stands out as the bloke who was trying his hardest to knock down that wall, that Maroon wall.
Yeah, and famously, when they finally won the series in 2014, I think they were given the shield up at Suncorp after they'd already locked it. They won the first two games and ended up losing the third game up at Suncorp Stadium, so they had to accept it in front of the enemy, as it were. But Gow famously, I think he underestimated the population of Sydney by a couple of million or so.
Yeah.
He got it very wrong. In fact,
first of all, thanks to the sponsors, Holden and VB, for your great support. I want to congratulate Queensland for their 8-series win. You can't take that away from them. They're a fantastic team, well led by Cameron Mao. To our boys, Laurie and all the coaching staff, unbelievable, we achieved our goals. Everyone wrote us off except for ourselves, and we achieved it. And I'm so proud of all of you, and I'm so proud to lead you. It's an honour of mine. To all the New South Wales fans and to all the players who played over the past 8 years and the coaches, thank you for your support. Thank you for all your efforts. And I hope you enjoy this as much as I will. For the 5 million people back in New South Wales.
But that, and getting sidetracked a little bit, Gow's had two of the more famous victory speeches in rugby league history. That ability to, that captain of the New South Wales team that stopped the Queensland run.
Yep.
And Cronulla's first
Sharkies.
Ever premiership.
Yeah, look, he's been a real character of our game, and he'll continue to be in the media. He'll forge himself a good media career. Who knows how far he'll take his boxing. But he'll always be a constant in the game because we associate him with being that bloke who tried to get the shield back, and he did,
and he won the Wally Lewis medal in 2014 as well. While we're on Gow, we might as well bring up the punch. The last punch ever thrown in rugby league, or that was ever meant to be thrown in rugby league, when he just stuck one on the chin of Nate Miles.
Yeah, well, that was, we've spoken to Gow about it. He said he's sore, his bad knee, got twisted by Nate Miles on a few occasions. He said, do it again, I'm going to hit you. And then he did it in the tackle, and he looked around, and Nate Miles wasn't going anywhere. And then all of a sudden, bang, bang, and they're into it. So, and that'll go down in history because that was the day the music died.
Yeah,
the day
exactly.
The last punch was thrown in rugby league. So that'll be memorable.
And memorable. And fittingly that it was in 2014 as well, because, you know, for so long he'd been trying to stand up to this Queensland side, and then he did it both physically, and then they got it done on the scoreline. So,
yeah, well, he was an ornament in 2014. It was, he finally took the mantle, and I think the first time since Danny Medeiros back in 2005 to win the Wally Lewis medal for the best player of the series. So that was a fantastic season for Paul Gallen.
Talk to me about, we're going to get to the changing of the guard as it's happened in the last two series shortly, but talk to me about the mentality or the thought process you had as a former State of Origin player for New South Wales while this dominant Queensland side just kept on rolling out the wins.
Well, it was hard because we all had our opinions, and a lot of time that was misconstrued by the current team of that time, that was the ex-players ganging up on them and you know, come on, you've had your go, let us have our go. And I can see that because, you know, but it was far from that. I think if you've played one or 41 games for New South Wales, the passion never leaves you, no matter what. Once you pull on that blue jersey and you hear the national anthem and you look to the left of your jersey and you see the emblem of New South Wales on your chest, you go, well, here I am. This is something I'd never believed I could ever play State of Origin, but I'm here. So the passion sometimes got misconstrued for blokes who, ex-players, for saying things that were, and especially when players are down, you don't want to kick them while they're down, you know, especially the Origin side. And that was seen, I think, at the time by coaches like Ricky Stewart and Laurie Daly in particular, that ex-players were ganging up on their teams. Where in actual fact, I know personally, if I ever said something about the Origin team was because I'm passionate about us winning. Not about any personal players or anything about any personnel. It's more about let's get some pride back in the jersey. And they tried their hardest. Mm. We spoke about the Origin domination of Queensland. We'll never see a team like that again. We'll never, ever see a team like that again. We've heard, you know, it's like an amazing myth about the Dragons of 55 to 66 and winning 11 premierships in a row. And you go, how? How can you fathom that? Well, if someone said, you know, in 1988, 8 years into Origin, that, you know what, in 2006, Queensland are going to win 8 series in a row.
And there's going to be...
Well, actually, say that in 2000, when New South Wales are beating Queensland by 40.
Yeah.
When everyone said Origin was dead.
Queensland are about to start rolling out a side with four possible future immortals in it, and you won't be able to get near them.
You'd say, come on, man. You would. And that's the beauty of Origin. That's the beauty. I know we're about to talk about the changing in the guard in a sec, but that's the beauty of Origin. We don't know what's going to happen.
Mm.
Every series, even you said at the start of this chat that every series that Queensland won, only one of them was a clean sweep.
Mm.
That means New South Wales were an inch away every time. That's what keeps you in the hunt.
Yeah.
That's what keeps supporters in the hunt. That's what keeps players in the hunt. It's a fascinating, I can't think of anything, and I'm biased, but since 1980, as long as this has been going Origin, it's hard to think of two other sporting teams in the world, not just Australia, but in the world, who have had such a fierce rivalry over a long period of time. I know you go to the Yankees and in baseball, and you get maybe you go to, you know, the Lakers and the Celtics in basketball or something like that. But
that's all club.
This one is unbelievably intense. And every year, just when you think it can't get any more intense, it does. Like, we were in Perth.
Mm.
We saw how intense it was over there. That roar when New South Wales ran out was deafening. And I went, my God, I want to be out there playing. And that doesn't happen very often.
Well, I think the tagline one of the years was rivalry without rival. And it's true. There is. And I can't necessarily. And again, the ones you think of that jump to mind are the historic club rivalries.
Yeah, like in soccer, the Celtics and
Man City, Man U, Celtic and Rangers in the Scottish Premier League. Yeah, they are club based things, but this is, you know,
from the same country to have two states at each other. It's kind of, I can't think of anything like it.
And the other thing that separates it, as you would know, is that it's not club teams. It is the best from club teams playing against one another. And I can't think of another rivalry in the world that, to some degree, players value more than representing their country. You know, kids grow up wanting to play for Queensland.
Correct.
Paul Gallen grew up wanting to play. Yes, he says in his book he wanted to play for Australia, absolutely. But he grew up not supporting a club. He supported New South Wales. That was his team.
Yeah.
That's who he wanted to play for.
Yep. And it's a fascinating... The storyline is ever-changing. It's the narrative of Origin will get greater and greater and greater, and let's see how far Freddie can take his team.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about it then. The changing of the guard, 2018, the baby blues. Brad Fittler takes over as the coach of New South Wales, replaces Laurie Daly, who just bled blue for his time in charge of that team. Brad Fittler took over and just changed. It felt like he changed the culture straight away, but
he was a lumberjack.
Mm.
He cut down a big tree in the forest, and he basically brought in 11 new faces that had everybody going, "What are you on about?" Well, the proof is in the pudding.
And when you list those names, those new faces, look again, hindsight, it's amazing to think that they hadn't got a start earlier. Josh Adokar, who's now a lock for the Kangaroos, Regan Campbell-Gillard, Nathan Cleary, Latrell Mitchell, Damian Cook, Jack DeBellin, Paul Vaughan, James Roberts, Tom Trbojevic, Angus Crichton, Tyrone Peachey. You know, some of them have stood the test and gone through, others not so much, but some of those names, Tom Trbojevic, Josh Adokar.
Angus Crichton, it was a matter of time.
Damian Cook.
And that was the thing with Freddie. Freddie's always been an identifier of talent. He's been in the pathway system for a long time with New South Wales, overseeing 16s and 18s. And I think over the last decade, he's been doing that. So he's got an eye for the what it takes to be a New South Wales player. He was the youngest ever to do it.
Mm.
He's been the player for New South Wales who's played the most games for the Blues.
Mm.
So he can tick a few boxes.
Yeah.
I don't know whether Freddie could ever become an NRL coach again, because I think it's probably a bit too taxing. But the 8 weeks or 10 weeks that he has his team for, he hypnotises them and he gets them. You remember last year, famously, you know, had them all walking on bare feet on the grass.
No phones.
He started, you just said it a minute ago, he changed the culture without really doing too much.
Mm.
As soon as he walked in, by just a couple of little sentences. And I know that everyone bought in, all ex-players bought in, all supporters bought in, because finally we had a coach who was picking our state team on form, not reputation.
Mm.
And in the past, that was what I think we spoke about before, about ex-players being a little bit disappointed in what we're seeing. Well, a lot of them players were picked on what they had done the year before, not on their last six or eight games. And this year, you know, this year and last year, Freddie said, if you've got anything that's distracting you, forget about playing for State of Origin. If your contract's not done or if you're in a bit of trouble, forget about playing for New South Wales. And everyone's toed the line.
The other thing that Freddie needs to be given amazing credit for, because it's revolutionary. It doesn't seem revolutionary because sports and clubs do it everywhere around the world. But from an NRL perspective, it is revolutionary, which is to open up the doors to the media. Now,
big time.
Now the players, as a general rule of thumb over the last decade, it has not been a good relationship with the media.
No.
There are exceptions to the rule. There are exceptions from both sides. Some players have great relationships with some media and vice versa. But as a general rule, the media, for a large part, and in some corners still, is viewed as the enemy of rugby league and rugby league players. Freddie realised...
Yep.
Freddie may still think, even though he works in the media, may think parts of the media are the enemy, but he's prepared to wear it. He opened the doors, and Tracy Edmondson, who's in charge of that media department, has also done a fantastic job.
Glenn Jackson, a lot of them. Very John Mather.
They opened the doors, and basically they took all the air out of the balloon from a conjecture and suspicion perspective, because they said, if you've got questions, here's our entire group.
Yep.
Go and ask them. In fact, the only bloke I've seen take off early from those sessions is Andrew Johns.
Yeah. Well, if you're playing ducks and drakes with your team, they're going to play like ducks and drakes.
Mm.
They're going to play like they've got their head in the water.
Mm.
You've got to expose them to the experience. And that's exactly what Freddie's done. He exposed these debutants, both this year and last year, to the experience of Origin. And you might only get one go at it, but I'll tell you what, you'll remember it forever.
Yeah. Well, New South Wales, obviously, they won in 2018, 2-1, and then this year, lost the first game, went up to Suncorp, and again, it started to have shades of 2015, coming off the back of a series win, and everyone thought, oh, okay, the time is now, the tide has turned, now it's New South Wales time,
yep.
Because we've said goodbye to Cam Smith, and we've said goodbye to Billy Slater, and we've said goodbye to Cooper Cronk. Now is our time. But, again, Queensland, in their home stadium, just got the job done, and all of a sudden it was nervous times again.
Yeah, it was. Again, we're there, and you know, all of a sudden along comes Ponga and Munster, and these guys. Cherry Evans is playing the best footy of his career, and their forward pack with Papali leading it was dominant. And yeah, they won that game, and we thought, okay, let's bring on Perth, and they end up winning by a big score, New South Wales. And you know what, being given a really special personal pleasure when I was over there about being able to get inside the inner sanctum, I never thought I'd get the opportunity again to do that. It opened my eyes exactly, you know, I know my brother-in-law Brandy, I see him a lot. We don't talk footy when we see each other. It's all about everything else, you know, and Freddie's the same. I was at Brandy's house just recently, and both him and Brandy and Freddie and Brandy were there, and we didn't talk footy. We just, you know, played music and had a couple of beers. But seeing them in charge of the New South Wales team, as I got the opportunity to hand the jerseys out for game two in Perth, seeing how focused they were, seeing how relaxed they were, that just filled us to the players. The players were hanging on every word they said in the meeting that I was allowed to go to. The staff were hanging on everything Freddie said. The players, when Brandy said something to him or Denny Bedaris would say something to him, straight away did it. There was no yelling. There was no screaming. It was just respect.
Mm.
And we spoke about Mal Meninga, how much of a man manager he was recently when we spoke in the podcast about the 8-year domination. Well, Freddie's got the same type of attributes Mal has. He's a thinker. He's a bloke who has always got an open door policy. No one feels uncomfortable around him. And that is a really good thing to have as a rugby league coach, especially a rep coach.
I'll never forget the story Brandy came on and told after New South Wales won game two about Tarek Sims. And
yeah.
who said to Brandy just before game two in Perth, after you'd presented the jerseys, said to Brandy, I'm going to go out and play like MG. And Brandy said, please don't get sent off. And then obviously, I mean, the performance of Tom Trbojevic in that game and James Tedesco and... It was an annihilation. Well, he didn't come back till game three.
Oh, you're talking about game three, yeah. Okay.
But that was game two, but then game three. And I want to get to Mitchell Pearce. I've got some notes on Mitchell Pearce. But the redemption story for so many of these blokes. They came back here, that try.
Oh, yeah.
That try where...
Well, the pressure was on, wasn't it? After the Perth win and everyone was saying, you know, that, well, okay, one all and we're on home deck. But we had a couple of injuries.
Mm.
And we had to call upon some familiar faces to get the job done.
Yep. Mitchell Pearce, let's get to it now. Look, New South Wales won the series. I bring this up because he fascinates me. I just want to run you through. I'd struggle to name an unluckier player from State of Origin perspective over the last decade.
Well, you know what? It was remiss of me not to mention his name when I mentioned Gallen and Farah because he was with them the whole... 10 years, box and dice.
He's played 19 games of State of Origin.
Mm.
He made his debut as a 19-year-old in 2008. This is before the decade, obviously, in a Game 3 decider, which they lost. And he came out off the back of that game and said, I wish I probably hadn't made my debut so soon. Mm. I probably wasn't ready for it. But he came back in 2010, whitewash, played games 2 and 3. They lost the series 3-0. 2011, played all three games, lost the series 2-1. 2012, played all three games, lost the series 2-1. 2013, played all three games, lost the series 2-1. 2014, he gets dropped for Trent Hodkinson. They go on and win the series and break the reign. And all of a sudden, it's Mitchell Pearce was the problem.
Yeah, well, I can tell you he wasn't the problem. You know, you can't blame your halfback if your forwards are going backwards.
Mm.
And it seemed to be that every time Queensland would score the winning try or something, they'd make an effort to run to him and get in his face.
Well, in 2015, he plays all three games at 5-8, which not his preferred position, but they lose the series 2-1, and JT delivers that famous sledge about telling Mitchell to go out the front and touch the shield of Wally's statue because that's the closest he'll ever get to it. 2015.
Mm.
2016, not picked. 2017, all three games, they lose the series 2-1.
Yeah.
2018, not picked. And then 2019, game 3, at his 8th attempt at a series win. He's involved in New South Wales series victory.
Yeah, that was a really pleasurable night.
And through the pass that started that winning try.
Yeah, he did. He had the foresight to do it. I must admit, he started that third game like he was a 19-year-old nervous kid, you know, because he would have thought, man, I've done this before, and he would have second guessed himself, but he had no reason to because, as you say, when the push came to shove and we needed someone to get the ball as quickly out to the fast men as possible, from inside our own half, he had the scope to say, okay, let's go, boom.
And as a 30-year-old, with the wherewithal of everything that he's been through, he's won comps, let's not forget this, he was the right man at the right time, which is fantastic for him. All right, MG, amazing decade. I want to just do a little bit of a game here to finish this one off. What do the 2020s hold? We know we're going to Adelaide next year. Where else do you think New South State of Origin might venture in the 2020s?
Look, I know we tried America once, 1987, but I'd love to go back there again. You know, I'd love to go back there, and I think the goalposts have changed, to excuse the pun. I think it's now that social media is upon us, Origin is in people's faces a lot more than it was in 87. A lot more people know what State of Origin is overseas. Mm. So I'd like to take it overseas maybe in a couple of years for one of the games. I like the current setup. Melbourne, Perth, Adelaide, you know, share that third game.
It's a rotational third game.
Share that
game.
Third game.
Yeah, I like it too.
I think it's, you know, it's our best product. It's rugby league's best product. Why not share it with people?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And I know the Northern Hemisphere presents problems from a logistical point of view, but it strikes me that England would eat this up.
Imagine Wembley.
Yeah.
Imagine Wembley
for an origin. And with all the hype of
they get it more
Sonny
than
Bill
anyone.
Williams going to Toronto and him playing in the Super League, it just feels like there's a window here to, you know, and with the likes of, there's some good former NRL players playing in the Super League right now. It just feels like there might be an opportunity. Anyway, Kevvy Walters next year, it's the final year of his coaching deal. We love Kevvy. We'd love him to coach forever. If he doesn't coach beyond this contract, because he gets a first grade job somewhere.
Yep.
Who do you think could be the next Queensland coach?
I think Cooper Cronk might be a, you know,
the winemaker. Tell us that.
Yeah, the winemaker. If for those that don't know, he's an unnamed and unknown person who comes on the show with some hot gossip.
You think Cam Smith would be interested? He's announced that he's going to go around again next year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he'll be custom made to coach. You know, they always say that the best players never make the good coaches, but he's been the reason that Craig Bellamy's been such a good coach.
He's been an on-field coach.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, who knows? But I think Cooper Cronk's going down that path. I think that, you know, he's consorting with other codes to get knowledge. He'll probably go overseas on a fact-finding mission, you know, like a good coach should. Mm-hmm. And if he gets a role with the Queensland side next year, as one of the assistants to maybe Kevvy, look for him to maybe. Apparently, Justin Hodges is not a bad coach either. He's got a good rep amongst the players. So, look, they've got plenty of players and ex-players and coaches around that could do it. So I don't know.
Okay,
who knows? Maybe one day Mao might go back and do it.
All right. Lastly, and the beauty of this prediction, MG, is that it's there's no way you can lose it because. We're probably not going to be here in 10 years' time. How many series to each state in the next 10 years?
7-3 New South Wales.
Beautiful. And just give me a couple of names of players you think might dominate over the next decade.
Well, I think Kalyn Ponga will in Origin. I think Tommy Turbo will in Origin. I think Nathan Cleary's going to come really good in Origin, be one of their mainstays. I think Cameron Munster is going to be very, very good. And I think this young guy, Harry Grant, if I had to predict, you know, 4 or 5 years time, the guy who's about to play first grade for Melbourne next year, I think what I've seen and heard from about him is he's ready. He's going to be big. So he could be the next big thing as far as hookers go. But that's the beauty of Origin. There's some kid who's about to make his first grade debut next year. Doesn't even know it yet. But in 4 or 5 years' time, he's going to be an Origin star.
Well, there it was. A decade of Origin, state of Origin. We could sit here and talk for it for another half an hour, but we won't. We'll move on. We've got other things to talk about. Hope you're enjoying the Decade of Rugby League podcast series. Make sure you are... tell your mates about it, I reckon.
Spread the word, baby.
That's what you do with things you like. You share it.
Pass it out the back line. Share the ball. Come on. He's Liam. I'm MG. That was our Origin special. Wherever you are, stay random.